Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host of the Daily Challenges, and today's Thursday, the day in our weekly rhythm where we try to apply and live out what we've been learning this week. And this week we've been studying the book of Nehemiah in the Old Testament. Maybe not a book you were really familiar with before, but a book where a man named Nehemiah gets to lead the redevelopment, rebuilding of the city of Jerusalem. Pretty huge task. There's lots of project management and leadership stuff to be found in this book. It's a lot of fun to read. But I asked you yesterday to try to figure out some of the parallels between Jesus and Nehemiah. We saw some of the ones, you know, he was a cupbearer, sat at the right hand of God, was willing to die for the king, and those things. But then we talked about how at the end of the building project, Nehemiah and a scribe named Ezra and the people of Israel gathered together and read the book of the law. They reminded themselves of the covenant God had made with them and recommitted to following the law that was meant to be their side of upholding the covenant. Now, I asked you yesterday how this was like Jesus. How did Jesus help people, well, remember and then commit to the covenant? This was actually a huge part of Jesus' ministry. He said that his teaching wasn't meant to throw away the law, but rather the fulfillment of the law. He wanted people to understand the spirit of the law, not just the letter of the law. So Jesus took the law very seriously, wanted to teach people the law and help them see the true meaning of the law. Because he lived in a time when, for many, the law had become this oppressive, legalistic mechanism that they found really weighing them down. He said it was like a burden on people's backs. It wasn't a way for them to sustain a loving commitment and covenant between them and God. Rather, it was always proving to them that they weren't good enough, that God didn't want anything to do with them. Jesus' teaching was meant to remind the people of Israel what the covenant, what the law, was really about. He wanted people to recommit to a covenant relationship with God and not allow the law to become an end unto itself like it had. In this way, we can see how Nehemiah was pointing forward to Jesus, although imperfectly. Nehemiah's leadership, his building process, all the things that happened in that time, they weren't perfect. They weren't absolutely good and holy. But they were pointing forward to the leadership of one who would be perfect, Jesus. The story was pointing forward to a time when we wouldn't be rebuilding a physical city of Jerusalem with stones and bricks, but rather when Jesus would be rebuilding humanity, rebuilding the earth into something known as the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Jesus once said, at great risk to himself, that the temple would be destroyed and he would rebuild it in 3 days. This was obviously very contentious for the Jewish people. The temple was supposed to be God's presence on earth, and this Jesus sounded like he was going to destroy God's physical presence on earth. But what Jesus wanted them to see was that he was God's presence on earth now. That God's presence was no longer confined to a building. God's presence was here in the form of a human being, at once fully God and fully human, named Jesus Christ. The temple, as God's physical presence on earth, was no longer required, and in fact it was eventually destroyed and never rebuilt. God's presence has continued on earth in the person of Jesus, in the spirit of Jesus that we call the Holy Spirit, still living and working in believers today. And the Spirit of God is continuing to work in and through us until the kingdom of God comes in its fullness, when we'll all see God face to face in a rebuilt city of God. The book of Revelation describes the kingdom of God as a city. John, who wrote the book of Revelation, had a vision of this city, like a rebuilt city of Jerusalem, but perfect in every way. And I saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God." Well, this is a great place to end our series on the Old Testament because it brings us full circle. The story began with God and humanity, all of it, Adam and Eve, living in close personal relationship in a perfect environment, the Garden of Eden. The rest of the Old Testament describes how humanity, represented now by the nation of Israel, threw that away And as much as we might regret having thrown away that close personal relationship with God, the Old Testament describes how humanity's attempts to reconnect with God all fail, and how God's attempts to help us reconnect with Him have been equally difficult for humanity to follow through on. It just seems like there is this insurmountable barrier between us and God, between us and the close personal relationship we are meant to have in a perfect environment. God even gave the people of Israel a promised land, but they lost that as well because of their inability to follow through on their side of the covenant that God had made with them, to uphold their side of the law. All this ultimately ended in their exile from their land, as they were thrown out of their land under Babylonian and Persian control. And that's really the context of the last few weeks of the Old Testament that we've looked at, is of a people who seem to have lost everything and who seem to have no hope. But then in the book of Nehemiah, we started to see some hope. Their city is being rebuilt. The people of Israel are coming back together as a people under God's law. And that is the vision that we're meant to see for the end of time as well. This isn't just about something that happened, thousands of years ago. This was all pointing us forward to when all of humanity and the earth was going to be perfected and redeemed by the work of Jesus Christ. So we could all someday live in the kingdom of God, under God's rule, under God's law, in a perfectly redeemed world called the kingdom of God. So here's your challenge for today. Do you ever need to renew your promises to God? Maybe after a time away from worshiping and learning to follow Him? And so in the website and app, you'll find printed for today some baptism promises. And so in a prayer to God, commit to each of these things. If you've never been baptized, or you want to make these promises with the support and encouragement of a caring church community, then contact me today. I'd love to help you do that. Here are those baptism promises. Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers? Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord? Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God and Christ? Will you seek and serve Christ in all people, loving your neighbor as yourself? And will you acknowledge Christ's authority over human society by prayer for the world and its leaders, by defending the weak, and by seeking peace and justice? So, take those promises to heart, make them to God if you've never made them before, or if you just need to recommit to them, to show that you want to practice living in God's kingdom with all of your life. Like I said, I'd love to help you commit to those promises and keep those promises, and so would our church community. So, love to hear from you about how I can do that. So that's the end of our series on the Old Testament. I'll see you tomorrow as we take time to pray and reflect about this. And then next week as we start just a one-week series called Status Update, where we're just going to check in and see where our community is after another year of challenges. So have a good one. I'll see you tomorrow.